Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and I am doing book picks this Tuesday. Each week, an independent bookseller comes by the studio and tells us what we should be purchasing from their shelves and adding to our collections at home. Of course, it's also a gift-giving season, so we'll probably talk about that a bit. Lily Bartels is the book buyer for the Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery in Schenectady, New York, and she joins us now. Hello.
Hi, Sarah.
Thank you for being here.
Delighted.
So we have a lot to get through. Where do you want to begin?
I want to start with a book called Ship of Dreams, The Sinking of the Titanic and the End of the Edwardian Era by Gareth Russell. He takes a pretty unique approach to not only recounting the story of the Titanic, he does so through the experiences of six first-class passengers. So among them were a British countess, the vice president of the Pennsylvania Railroad, the managing director of the Belfast shipyard from which the Titanic launched, and a woman named Dorothy Gibson, who was one of the highest paid actresses in the world at the time. And as he tells their backstories, he also meticulously tracks their movements through the ship when they're on board. But this is more than just a typical recounting of the disaster itself. He uses the disaster by uniquely taking a wide-angled view of it as it reflects the unraveling of the gilded Edwardian society that created Titanic. And he touches on other contemporaneous events like the rise of the Irish Home Rule movement, the rise of American industrialists. It's pretty, I would say, very impressively researched, and it contextualizes the event as both a larger social and historical event. So he sets it in that background. Just a different kind of approach, but fascinating.
It's Ship of Dreams, The Sinking of the Titanic and the End of the Edwardian Era by Gareth Russell.
Next, I have what is my favorite biography of this season because it's about one of my favorite people, and that book is Carrie Fisher, A Life on the Edge by Sheila Weller, who is a journalist. She previously did a triple biography of three other iconic cultural figures, singer-songwriters Joni Mitchell, Carole King, and Carly Simon. She's really good at what she does, and what she's done here is created a really comprehensive biography of one of the most popular actresses and cultural figures of the last 40 or so years. So, you know, she goes into Carrie's Hollywood beginnings as she was the Hollywood royalty, daughter of Debbie Reynolds and Eddie Fisher, who were their own sort of cultural icons in the 50s, and how she went on to land this career-making role as Princess Leia in Star Wars, and how that really informed most of her life. But her career didn't just stop there. She was a very successful best-selling author. She did a one-woman play on Broadway. She had many other acting roles. And so there was a lot of light and a lot of joy in her life, but there was a dark side, too, that we know some things about. But Weller takes a deep dive into, for instance, her drug addiction, her struggles with mental illness. She was diagnosed quite late in her life as being bipolar. And one of the great things about Carrie was her extremely frank and candid approach to discussing her mental illness. And so, you know, we owe her a debt of gratitude for destigmatizing that. And not only destigmatizing it, but, you know, making it into art. And part of her one-woman show, which I was lucky enough to see, called Wishful Drinking, you know, she talks a great deal about the challenges of being mentally ill. And, of course, being Carrie Fisher manages to insert a great deal of sardonic humor into it. So that I loved the way Sheila Weller told her story. There's a lot there to fill in the blanks about what we don't know about Carrie. And honestly, the book just made me miss her even more.
I can't wait to read this. I've read all of Carrie's memoirs, and
yes,
so I'm really excited
too,
to, like you say, fill in the holes and visit her again, just hang out with her again. That is Carrie Fisher, A Life on the Edge by Sheila Weller.
So, unsurprisingly, this is the time of year when we get many customers, many shoppers coming into the store saying, I need a book for a person that I don't know all that well, I don't really know what they're interested in or what their reading habits are. What can you suggest? And I brought a few things that I think have very broad appeal. I know that when I picked up these books, I was instantly engaged with all of them. The first is Peculiar Questions and Practical Answers. And this is by the from the files of the New York Public Library. So recently, the staff of the NYPL combed through its archives to find some of the more remarkable and, I have to say, often hilarious questions that the library's been fielding since it opened in 1895. So you can see I brought this for you to look at. It's a smallish volume, but it is immensely entertaining. In which the current staff offers answers to some of the oddest and funniest questions that the library has fielded since it began record keeping in 75 years ago. And it's also got wonderful, whimsical watercolor illustrations by New Yorker cartoonist Barry Blitt that sort of bring to life some of the more absurd questions. And so just very briefly, here are some of
give
the
us
questions.
An example.
Oh,
here we
my
go.
Gosh, you won't believe. Can you keep an octopus in a private home? Can mice throw up? How much did Napoleon's brain weigh? How many neurotic people are there in the U.S.? Here's one. What does it mean when you're being charged by an elephant tribe? Where can I rent a guillotine? Mm. Does anyone have a copyright on the Bible? So every page has a question, and then the current staff's ability to answer that question in a witty way, but also using as much factual information based as possible. It's really delightful. It's one of those books you can pick up, open to any page, and instantly be engaged.
Yeah, that sounds great. Is Peculiar Questions and Practical Answers from the files of the New York Public Library.
Here's one called The Day It Finally Happens by Mike Pearl. He's a columnist for Vice Magazine, and his column is called How Scared Should I Be? And what he does in this book is that each of the chapters focuses on some speculative possibility that could arise in our futures, including scenarios like, what about the day humans become immortal? The day a real Jurassic Park opens? The day a baby is born on the moon? The day humans get a confirmed signal from extraterrestrials, the day the entire internet goes down. So he describes how those scenarios would likely play out. All of this, it's very well researched. He met and interviewed many scientists and many academics to get their take on it. So it's, although each of these events is rated on a probability chart, mm-hmm. what he tries to do is explain what would likely happen, but above and beyond that, how would human beings cope? How would they respond to those events? What would we do, and would we survive? And while a lot of these scenarios seem to be founded on very bleak subject matter, honestly, picking up this book and reading it is really a lot of fun because he has such a dry wit. And I just found it absorbing and addictive, even though it's like he reaches into the dark recesses of our worst nightmares.
Sure.
But he creates a narrative that it's just captivating and thoughtful. And his forecasts are intriguing, backed by facts. And honestly, most of them end on a pretty hopeful note, let's say.
Oh, that's nice. That is The Day It Finally Happens by Mike Pearl.
Another book I think that a lot of people would find interesting, I certainly did, is Brilliant Maps for Curious Minds, 100 New Ways to See the World by Ian Wright. He has a similarly named YouTube channel. This is the most unique atlas of infographic maps that I've ever seen, just the way that they are presented. And they really run the gamut from thought-provoking and revealing to just plain entertaining and fun. The way that the maps are laid out with legends down the side of the page are very clear. They're very visually arresting, very appealing, and highly accessible. And what it allows you to do is just to absorb this enormous amount of information literally in a glimpse, and very informative, very fascinating look at the cultural, the political, the economic, the geographical aspects of the world using only those maps and legends. And honestly, look, just thumb through this book, and I guarantee it can't help but make you reconsider how you've been seeing the world. If you love maps and or trivia or both, this is a really brilliant way to visually contextualize a trove of information. And so some of the areas that he gets into are not your typical areas. So for instance, he has a map that shows where are the highest speed limits in the world.
Oh.
let's see, what else? Oh, here's one that's distressing. Countries that have no McDonald's. And when you see, it's the tiny gray areas in this expanse of yellow.
It's the whole world, and most of it's
so
colored in.
McDonald's, a global power.
Mm-hmm.
And then this map of the United States that shows a concentration of which states love dogs most and which are cat states.
Oh.
Travel times from London in 1914. How long it would take you to get to all of these places if you were a traveler back in the early 20th century. And then one that I'd found but was just hilarious was heavy metal bands per 100,000 people. So you'd be surprised where some of those are concentrated. Anyway,
great.
Again, a book you can pick up and open to any place and get a whole new perspective on something you might not have been aware of.
Brilliant Maps for Curious Minds by Ian Wright.
One cookbook that I want to focus on in this segment is a little bit of an antidote to all of the absolute gorgeous, highly specialized, beautifully illustrated cookbooks that are just, that there's just the market is flush with them. But this book is called You Suck at Cooking, The Absurdly Practical Guide to Sucking Less at Making Food. And, you know, all of those beautiful cookbooks for foodies and that pander to the food culture, they're gorgeous to look at. I brought this for you to see, although our audience can't see it.
The
cover of You Suck at Cooking, which is merely a slice of burnt toast out of which has been carved a frowny face.
Yeah, it looks pretty upset.
So the author is a mystery author who is the voice of this wildly popular YouTube channel of the same name. So, and for people who can't cook or think they can't cook or love to laugh or actually both, this is the book for you or for the person in your life who would appreciate this. It's really an antidote to those gorgeous, elaborate cookbooks on the market. And it includes 60 plus easy to follow recipes using unintimidating ingredients that still combine to deliver delicious results. Plus, it's got quirky illustrations that outline the basics of cooking. So you can make, for instance, broccoli cheddar quiche cupcake muffin type things.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, all of these recipes, while they're presented with a great deal of humor and really cool vernacular language, the recipes really are go-to recipes that could well become part of your cooking repertoire. And I will say, don't miss the chapter on sandwiches, because the sandwiches are out of sight. They're really great. So You Suck at Cooking.
You Suck at Cooking.
And then I want to end with one of our very favorite children's picture books of this season, and it's called Fry Bread, A Native American Family Story by Kevin Noble Mallard. Basically, if you see on the inside of the books, of the book,
mm-hmm.
there's a listing, kind of a visually interesting list of every Native American tribe in the Americas.
Oh, wow.
And the place that Fry Bread has in their lives, and not just as sustenance, not just as food, but as it goes on to show you with these absolutely beautiful, beautiful illustrations.
Yeah, those are wonderful.
Bread is flavor, bread is shape, bread is color, but also bread is history, bread is family, bread is art. And in the back of the book, there are several pages of really interesting information that fills out for both children and adults the place that the symbolic place that this tradition of fry bread has across tribes, and how it arose from these Native Americans attempt to withstand and endure and survive the various oppression and indignities that were forced on them for so many years. So it's a lovely story to read with a child. It's a story that also points out our shared humanity. And I think it would make a great gift for the kid in your life.
That's Fry Bread, A Native American Family Story by Kevin Noble Mallard. Lily Bartels is the book buyer for the Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery in Schenectady, New York. This book picks list will be posted online at wamc.org/roundtable. Lily, thank you for being here.
Thanks so much, Sarah.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.